Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show, Alternative Medicine and Wellness. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here today. Today, we are going to be talking about a topic and expanding further on how we can have such a wonderful life, a peaceful life, a graceful life, a life of unconditional love in the face of all the hurdles. Now, as we share, Women Over Age 50 group will be starting on February 1st. What we always like to say is that, hey, I'm over 50 and all of a sudden, I don't know what's going on, but my life just seems to be a whole lot of challenges these days, or I just don't feel satisfied, or my bucket list, it's growing by pages and pages. You know, we think about that. What are we missing in life? What are we actually engaging in life? And how can we get more day-to-day to just be happy with the moment that we have? You know, it's not like the commercial on TV that says, you know, your heart attack is going to happen tomorrow, and here's a little post-it. We're not going to know when that day is going to be, that time will be. But what we do need to know is that we have this moment, we have today. Many people, when we work with end-of-life clients, we will always say, you have today. What would you like to do with this moment? You know, and we've always told the story of my wonderful dear client who shared a great gift with me. We went to the heart specialist, and he said, enjoy today. And she said, am I dying today? And we said, no, so we'll enjoy today. And that's really been the greatest gift ever. So if you can keep that going forward, how can you do the best today and let some of this stuff that you've been carrying along with you, just let it go and learn from it. As we always have said on this show, God does not sign for UPS. Can't take this baggage with you. So today my guest is Lynn Cochran Murphy. She is the author of Living Hope, Steps to Leaving Suffering Behind. Many people have said, what is suffering? Oh my gosh, does that mean I can't get out of bed every day? Does that mean I have a ton of health concerns? Does that mean that I feel pain all the time and I just don't know what to do with it? Lynn will be sharing a lot of stories about her life and how she's come through a lot of the challenges that she's faced with learning lessons, getting a little bit more ease with her life, and finding peace. Lynn is an intuitive consultant, and she specializes in it. She brings guidance to those seeking assistance on their spiritual path. Now, I read that sentence from her book for a very specific reason. How many of us feel like we're looking for what is our path? What are we supposed to be doing here? You know, we're getting tired of the day-to-day. I'm not supposed to be here so I can cook and clean. I'm not supposed to be here so I can go to a day-to-day job so that I can have enough money before my Social Security starts to take out. You know, that's really not what somebody would say, living your life to the fullest. So, Lynn, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you, Dr. Gallagher. I'm really pleased to be here.
So what do you think? Don't you think this is a whole lot of shape-shifting a lot of people have had? I don't think we could have had this discussion in the 50s and 60s, do you?
Not at all. And even with all the people that made us aware of the changes of 2012, I think how things have sped up even since then and how my life has changed. And I see it manifesting in the people all around me, too.
I'll tell you, it's incredible. And I think some of the people that are very unhappy and have all spent all their decades or hiding things in their past, they're getting to be even more irritated and more angry, which many people would say that's not a good thing. I myself say that's fabulous. They're getting their buttons pushed. You know, so
I
you can always keep pushing those buttons, and eventually that balloon's going to pop, right?
Right. I personally find that when I get into misery, it doesn't take long. It's a powerful tool to motivate me to change. Yeah. So when that dissatisfaction or that misery comes up, then it's like, okay, you know, it's been a day of this. I can't take it, and
yeah.
I move for change.
Yeah, and sometimes things are so rooted, we don't really see where that's really coming from. I know I came from a long line of ancestors that had a lot of concerns. Life was very hard. My ancestor had Poland and Russia and from Ireland and, you know, at the turn of the 1900s. And you look, they really, life was hard. They were working in the mines, you know, and they had a lot of drinking because that's what you did. Life was pretty difficult. And if we look back, our lives are so drastically different these days. We don't even think about having to survive like that. Where that's really what they had to do. And, you know, we say, oh, but they did this and they did that. Well, that was pretty much a part of their life then. So I think we've come along a long way as humans. We've really evolved.
It seems to me that life feels pretty light most of the time now. And even in the last, well, since the new year, I feel like life is even sped up once more. But I don't feel overwhelmed, and I don't feel rushing to keep up. It's like just be in my centered place, be in my awareness, and everything falls into place really easily. It also requires asking myself pretty often, though, what is the next best thing for me to do? You know,
yeah.
Just to pause for a second and allow that natural guidance from the universe to come in and say, because it will alert me to anything that's important that I might have spaced out on or whatever. I could always go into my to-do list, but I kind of like going to spirit and letting myself be guided from there.
Let's talk about events in our life that we end up happening. You share in your book many of your life stories, and I'll tell you, I seem to have challenges after challenges, but I always look back at them and say, oh, cool. You know, I can look back on almost all of them. Even, you know, staying for Hurricane Katrina, I learned a ton right up to the day when I had my hand on the door and I could feel the power of the storm and the power of spirit then telling me not to open the door, but something else telling me, oh, yeah, go ahead, open the door. So, you know, there's all these lessons that I think we can learn, and not only lessons, but just experiences. If we look at our life as like a series of experiences and say, wasn't that cool? Ooh, that wasn't so nice. Ooh, I don't want any more of that, but what did it show me? I think it would be so much easier instead of saying, you know, black and white, good and bad, or you did this to me and that kind of stuff.
The perspective of duality, good and bad, black and white, is something that we seem to be evolving out of now, that was the dynamic of living on this plane and this time, this earth. But it makes more sense that to look at it through a bigger lens, I guess. So when I was resolving and healing myself from all the abuse and things that happened in childhood, I studied Buddhism because I found that the religions that my family had didn't answer their questions and didn't appear to give them comfort. So I studied Buddhism and I got a lot of answers. And in the study of the law of cause and effect, which is what creates our concept of karma, in those studies, I realized that I had a part in everything that had been created in my life, and eventually went to the place where I understood that I created everything in my life for a reason. So a lot of it was karma to cleanse and clear out. At the same time, like you're saying, there's something positive, something valuable in every experience that I had. The difficulty was, after experiencing trauma and abuse and family dysfunction, when I was in my teens, I was one unhappy person with a view of a victim. I am a victim. And it took advancing my spiritual growth and the assistance of therapists and people like that to get out of that state of mind, so that now I recognize that all that I am is created by me, and I take responsibility for that, and I'm really okay with that. But as I align more and more with the spiritual being that I am, that everybody is, so much of that other stuff has just fallen away. It takes work and attention, and yet it just kind of dissolves at the same time, so that it can be that joyous being that we actually are inside.
Well, Lynn, might I ask, are you in the 50s or 60s range?
I'm exactly 60.
Yes, and you know, if we look back, and I'll be 60 this year, if we look back on that, when you were about that age of late teens, 20s, gosh, that was in the 70s. And let's look back at what was going on in the 70s. If you weren't twiggy, in other words, they were really upholding God, that people had to be perfection too, you know, still to be able to, if you weren't this, you were really not anything. So the sight of value really came with equating to someone else versus being able to find who you were at that time. So I think we were, I think history has really shown us that, gosh, we were there at a certain time to learn all these things as we went through, because now we can look back on our life and say, wow, look at what was going on at that time and look at how we got through that.
Well, and that whole Age of Aquarius thing started back then. And I remember I would hear it and I'd kind of poo-poo it, but I'd also be kind of like, these people are fascinating. What's that all about? So I think things did change, and it's fun to have been part of that era. It was so fun to be a hippie, to be, you know, to be 18 and dress in gauzy, you know, sheer funny stuff. Parents were rather appalled, but at the same time, it's not, I don't know, it was just fun. It was just fun.
Right. And I think that we maybe had glimpses of how glorious life could be at that time. And I think maybe, you know, as we got into the 80s and 90s, goodness gracious, that was all about how fast can you run, how hard can you run, and, you know, blowing ourselves up to incredible heights. And then when it all crashed in the 2000s, it was like, okay, we're back to the beginning, you know. So it kind of, I think, ebbed and flowed just as much as the financial situations in the world or the earth itself. We also, as people, really ebbed and flowed in how we were able to deal or be or experience it, because a lot of people didn't make it. There's a lot of people now who are checking out. They're just like, I'm over this, you know. I can't get any more from it. I'm out of here.
You know, that reminds me of surrender. It's something I talk about in my book. The book's called Living Hope, Steps to Leaving Suffering Behind. I talk about surrender because there's a part, rather than fighting and pushing,
right,
moving to the state of allowance, for some that means surrendering to a being greater than themselves, or for some it's surrendering to God. And for me now, it's more like surrendering to the energy, the life force of creation. And with that, I can move into the state of being a creator and making my life what I want it to be by saying yes. So moving from the fighting for my life, fighting for what I want, to just letting it all go. So surrender is a key word. It's really valuable. And makes it possible for me to be in allowance. Let the world be what it is, but I can be the joy of creation, the joy of God in me, and let that touch the world. You and I were talking earlier, and you mentioned some things in about what a powerful being you are. And I think that's the thing to find. Find that in yourself and let it be, and you touch and change the world just because you're here.
Well, and I think so, too, the idea of I can remember. Sometimes I think when we're speaking with someone is to always listen to what they're saying. I always encourage people. Hear what someone is saying. Listen to it. Engage your eyes. Look at them directly in their eyes. Otherwise, it's just almost like I always say, being in the ocean. What point does it have? So when you do that, you can hear certain things in it. There was a time in the past where I would say, I am so bloody tired of the heavy lifting. I am so tired of dragging them along. And I remember that was at a time when I was believing that what I knew in my education could be able to, quote, help people or fix people or treat people. And it took me to get knocked out of that and said, and I would hear in my thoughts, what the heck? What are you thinking? Why are you going down that road? That's not really what that is. And then I had to come up with, I can just be present. Or I may offer suggestions or some advice or some thoughts or just share back what I'm hearing. And that in turn is for the other person to make that change. You know, the other person's responsibility to be able to do that. And that's really about taking away responsibility. We don't want to say, I had taken a loved one to a ER in the past 6 months, five times. And finally, this last time, the doctor came, listened to the story from me because he wasn't communicating, and she looked right at him in his face and got right up 2 inches from his face and says, you have diabetes, but I lost 110 pounds, and, you know, I don't do sugar, and I'm doing much better. My sugar used to be 350, now it's down to 157. She immediately got in his face again and says, you have diabetes. You need to take the drugs. You're going to die from this. And we both looked at each other and went, wow. You know, so many times those people that we put into the place of fixing us or treating us or being able to, we put in the place of I'm broken, you need to fix me. They themselves, you look at it, and if you're awake enough, you will say, whoa, that's not what I need. That's not what I should be hearing, and I don't choose you as my co-health person. That's certainly not a road that you want to be on. So I think as we see healthcare crashing, as we see a lot of emotional things come up these days, as we see the political scene changing, a lot of people are now starting to say, whoa, all of a sudden. And I think that's a great place to be, because before we would have said, oh, but they have this degree or that position or that money or that company, and we would have let it go.
For me, coming from having survived the house fire when I was 2 and a half and everybody else in the house died, or coming from the dysfunction and abuse that I grew up with, left me feeling pretty powerless about life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought other people had what I wanted. And so
Right. The
positive of that is I would go to people and I would say, well, you have a great life. How did you create that? Or you appear happy. How do you have that? So
Right. It
caused me to seek outside myself. On the other hand, because I allowed myself to change and grow, then I took in what I heard. So I mean, there's nothing wrong with asking for help if you use that and move forward. And I did that. Then comes eventually the switch where you are in such a good place yourself, you have something to offer to others.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I feel compassion for people who are stuck, because I remember being in that place myself.
Absolutely.
And I remember thinking, everybody else has what I want, and I don't have it. But I went about taking the action steps to get there and, you know, letting go of what didn't serve me anymore.
Right.
Eventually moved into a place where I feel quite powerful to create the life that I want. It took decades of work, though.
Yes, and I think that's important. it does take a long time for many people, because if you look at it, we're not just working on concepts of last week, last month, 10 years. We're working on concepts of our spirit, and our spirit is everlasting. Our spirit is not just this lifetime. Our spirit is continuous. Mm-hmm. So I've always said on the show, when they would say to me, elders would say to me, oh, but this is your life. There's a beginning and end to it. And I'll say, gosh, that's not what I think it is. I almost see life as just a change of clothes, you know.
Very good.
To me,
yeah.
To me, it's a wardrobe change. In my concept, even see anything differently. So for people to understand that, what is the fear, you know, and to be able to say, well, if I'm eternal, then I've got all of these things. Yeah, and isn't it cool? So just say, hey, I'm here for this now. I think that's kind of cool. I want to learn it. I don't want to learn it. Or let me sit in this stew a little longer. Hey, if you want to be depressed for 30, 50 years, go right ahead. Because maybe in the next one you'll say, oh, gosh, I had that for 50 years. I'm not doing that again. So don't think of your life as got to learn all these lessons. This life is just a change of clothes.
I like that. Yeah, it really is. It is that easy, and it doesn't have to be scary. I do also feel, though, because there are people that are in depression for decades, that's a painful place to be. And I would encourage anyone to let that motivate you to go out and find what works to get you out of that space. And, of course, using medication is fine as long as you need that. It's not a place where you even have to stay, though, because if you do the other work to heal what brought all that into your body, all that depression and that chemical imbalance, if you heal that, then you don't need the medication eventually either. And you can be a person who brings joy into people's lives instead of a person who's wondering, what the heck happened to me? Why don't I have any energy? Where's the light in my life? It's changeable. Yeah. In my book, The Living Hope, Steps to Leaving Suffering Behind, I do talk about all the tools that I've used in my lifetime to get to this better place. And I encourage people to pick up the book and read it, because they'll get, in fact, even at the back of the book, there's a checkoff list. Things to try, films to watch, books to read. They're all things that I've done that worked for me. And I figure I'm not so special. If it worked for me, some of it's going to work for somebody else too.
You know, absolutely. And let's talk for a second about depression with bipolar. I had an instance recently with a dear, dear friend from many, many decades ago. And he had been on the medications, and he got something that was exciting to be able to do. It was to go to a football game, which he had never done, and to be in the VIP part. He was so excited, over the moon. And when he got to, he had to drive many hours to get to the game, and he was staying at a relative's house. And when he got there, he was just so excited, they believed it was bipolar again. It was the drugs that weren't working, you know. Oh, he shouldn't feel this elated. And we've really come to the point where I think our souls and spirits are so sometimes so held back by sometimes medications or people, situations, that once the spirit says, I got to crack through, it's sort of like it's just got to happen, that it comes across as a bipolar break. When sometimes it's really just your spirit saying, I'm in here, do you hear me, do you feel me, do you see me, and it's, how many times can you, you know, break it through where that starts to resonate back to balance? I think it's just so many people have taken the road of, well, I need anxiety drugs, I need depression drugs, and now I need bipolar drugs.
There is a lot, there are a great number of people being identified with bipolar disorder. And when you told the story about him being so joyful and people seeing that as a bad thing, I actually had an experience with that myself. I've never been diagnosed with bipolar disorder. I definitely was diagnosed with depression for a while there. But I had a day where I was driving my convertible sports car in Scottsdale. The sun was shining, and I had good music on and up loud, and I just was like, oh, my God, life is so good.
Yeah.
I am so happy. And immediately I went to fear. Oh, my God, I've become bipolar. And
correct.
It was only because I was unfamiliar with joy.
Yes.
And so, no, I don't have that disorder, but I do have a desire now to, like, have more joy, and I'm okay with that. It's fun. We deserve it.
Yeah, and I think that so many people now have gotten so used to the way they'll, you'll hear people say, it's the way things are, the way they've always been. I don't change. This is just what it is, you know, that type of concept, that when these bursts of joy come along or something that you want to do something differently or feel something differently, it seems like to be such a derivative of the past that people can't recognize it and want to stuff it back in again, you know? So I think that what I've always taught people is never label yourself. Don't label yourself bipolar, depression, or whatever it is. Even when I speak with people, we don't talk about disease or treatments. We just talk about how do you feel and how can you change that sense of where or who you are. And I think that's really what you talk about in your book is how do you change that sense? Because you can change the sense. You could say, oh, my gosh, I'm so depressed. I'm in the house. I haven't been able to get out. You can open up your window, can open up your blinds and stick your head out. You're out. And that's as simple as that, to take a little tiny thing like that and say, oh, okay, I felt the sun today. I felt the wind today. And as we take those little tiny things, you know, as they occur, then they start growing. And then it's like, oh, I'm going to put my chair out on the patio. Or then I'm going to maybe walk around the building today. Or then I'm going to maybe, I think I'll get in my car today, you know, those kinds of ideas. So eventually that which you felt was so heavy on you starts to lift, don't you think?
I do. I like that those are really manageable little steps for people to take. One of the things that I like to do is when I'm outside and there's a breeze, I visualize it clearing my aura, that it's pulling heavy thoughts, dark thoughts, any energies I don't want to keep, just pull them and take it, and I just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Being in nature, too, is just such a powerful healing force, whether it's walking in the park or sitting and looking at the ducks, watching the clouds float by in the sky. All of that is really healing and nurturing to us. So I would say, yeah, go get any degree of that that you can.
And even, you know, when people have some very debilitating diseases and end of life, we hear them say, take me outside, put me in a chair, put me in the sun, bring me to the ocean, bring me to snow. You know, I want to touch a plant. I need to smell the forest. Whatever that might be. And when I think I have spoken to this about many times on the show, is that people believe that we're separate from nature, but we really are a part, we are nature, we are part of the earth. And to think that we're any different than that, you know, I mean, I remember as a kid, I would lay in the grass and totally not even feel myself and just feel one with whatever it was. You know, you could sense the clouds or feel or sense the grass blowing, or you could smell the flowers that might be 5 miles away or whatever it might be. But when you're able to just lay there and let all of your human restrictions, as I call them, let those go, gosh, you know, you just feel so much different. And that really helps a lot of people heal. And I think you share a lot of times in your book when you've, you know, like you said, even driving the car, when you just let all of that humanness go, you just let it out.
Well, I think that sounds like a great experience that you had on the grass. There, our bodies are physical, like Earth is physical, and it's our spirit, the energy of who we are, that is expansive and infinite. Being here on the planet gets pretty heavy at times. So,
yeah,
getting outside and letting it go is super valuable. This afternoon, I'm going hiking with a girlfriend. And just being in the fresh air, feet on the earth, observing birds and trees, and very refreshing. Feeds my soul.
Can you share, Lynn, a little bit about your book? Because you did very clearly describe a lot of your instances in your life that were really big challenges and hurdles. You know, all the way from when you were very small, you told your story about the fire. And, you know, that would, for many, as with you, you know, you could have anger, mistrust, you could have secure stability, feelings of left alone. You could have survivor's issues, and, you could have so many. I mean, even myself, you know, when you had said the survivor thing, it just went ding in my head. And I guess I've done enough going through that, that, you know, my sister had passed away when I was, my mother was 3 months pregnant with, my sister was 6 months old and she died. And I really felt that my mother's grief was so deep that I felt that my whole life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so those things that we think that are not really important in life do have a mark. It's sort of like, there is an imprint there. So how do you, as you've shared in your book, change some of those imprints so they just don't seem to always draw you over every time another instance occurs?
That's such a good question. Therapists helped me with some of it, and some of it my own research. You know, at first I wanted a degree in psychology. Because I went to a therapist when I was in ninth grade, and like she opened my mind to all the different, or some of the different possibilities. So one of those people along the way told me about survivor's guilt, and then I researched that myself. What is survivor's guilt? And so like that was one point of release. You mentioned abandonment, that sense of abandonment. And yes, I definitely had that, and that would come up with in friendships and in my interactions with the world. The wanting to like me, take care of me, be there for me. I believe that it was mostly Theta Healing, using that tool, that changed that for me. That I still have some of the, it's nice to be liked, but I don't need to sell my soul for that. I don't need to look to others to take care of me. I trust in myself that I have what it takes, and I'll find whatever else I need or want to add into my life. So the loss from the fire, or from my mother married again, and my stepfather died in a logging accident. And he was also verbally and emotionally abusive to my mom. So those kinds of experiences just made me feel very unsafe in life. But over time, as I built my connection to creator or source or whatever you want to call that, God, as I built that connection, it was okay with me that humans are so frail, that humans are so wounded, that, for instance, my mother loved me, but she couldn't be there for me. My goodness, she was needed to deal with the fact that she had lost her husband and two daughters in that house fire. And she still had me, but, you know, at the same time, she was pretty darn wounded. So I came around to eventually, okay, well, if humans don't have what I need, where do I go? And I think part of what helped is that my family had given me the foundation of religion. Religion didn't work for me, but it caused me to go and look to that source. And that's where I found what I needed in my connection with something greater than myself. And then, you know, using the tools that we have, from therapists to research to psychology and good books, spiritual teachers, all that, Theta Healing, Access Consciousness, man, my life is broken wide open, and I am not the person I was 10, 20, 30 years ago.
And also, too, I think that the belief that we're going to reach a pinnacle and all is hunky-dory is really something that we need to also let go. because there will always be another experience. There will also be another level. There will also be those who challenge us, but there will also be those that, as you've said, you know, we can assist by being present for them. Because, you know, everybody's at a different level. Someone had said something, oh, I know, they said on Facebook, they said, oh, my gosh, you know, I don't like seeing all this on my Facebook page because I don't agree with it or whatever. And I had posted, I said, gosh, isn't it fabulous that we have Facebook because we could see the individuals that are there for who they are, you know, because if everybody agreed, we'd have nothing to read on Facebook. You know, we'd be bored. So we don't really look to have everybody be like we are or to know what we know or what we don't know. There will always be those who know more or less or better or same or different, and to be accepting of that, to just say that accept where you are in the moment and that's it, instead of always trying to compare or, you know, feel that you didn't get to the end of the road or whatever that might be.
One concept that's meant a lot to me lately is living without judgment. As humans, we're not real good at that, and I certainly work at it, because we judge ourselves mercilessly. And we judge others. I know I'm always looking at, like, women's shoes, like, oh, my God, those are great. Well, those are judgments, and as are the other ones of, like, why is she wearing those? The more we release that kind of thinking and just allow everybody and everything to be as it is, brings us natural peace. It's such an easy thing. So, yeah, it's one of the concepts that I'm really enjoying these days.
You know, it's so funny you said that about shoes. When I came back here to New Orleans, I lived here in the 70s and 80s, and I came back here in early 2000s. And people would say to me, why do you want to go back there? You know, because I lived in Scottsdale for 12 years, land of the perfection, as I called it, you know. And I came back here and I said, because you know what? I can wear that pink sweater with the little sequins on it that I've been carrying around for the past 25 years, and not a one person would think that I had it for 25 years. They'd ask me, where did I get it? Because they wanted one too. That's why I'm going back there. You know, there's like no judgment. There's no, with certain types of people, you know, there's just no, I guess we just don't feel the same types of barriers and limitations that some people do in other areas of the country, you know.
I think that is in part because of the hurricane and the tragedies and the suffering that everybody went through there, that the people who've chosen to return or to remain are just more open and accepting because of it. They're more there for each other.
No, we were much better before the storm. The people that are here, the people that are here now since the storm are those that have tried to relocate and tried to grasp on to the healings of the people that were originally here. And it's kind of hardened a lot of people. But no, we were always this way. Gosh, I can remember back in the 70s and even up till the year, maybe last year, you could walk into a doctor's office, no matter who or what you were or where what you looked like or didn't look like, and good morning, everyone, and everybody in the office would answer good morning. They were sitting there waiting for their appointments too. You know, it's just the way it is. I mean, when I go to Walmart, you know, I think I come out of there talking to 13, 14 people. Even if I just said, oh, my gosh, you know, there was one guy, he was going the, you know how when you go in a grocery store, you've got your way that you go? And you assume that everybody goes that way, too. Well, he was going the opposite way of me. And I said, gosh, you know, we just on a collision course. And it was just something to laugh about. Or, you know, when you go to the deli and an elderly person on senior day picks up a jar of something and puts it back down. They said, yeah, isn't that, it's ridiculous, the price, isn't it? You know, and they'll say, yeah, you can almost barely even eat these days on Social Security, you know. So what you can find out from people just by just not even thinking about those limitations or barriers, you just be with them. It's so much more wide open.
Wow, that sounds wonderful. That makes me want to come and visit.
Yeah, well, I think it's just the type of the people. Do you know what I mean? So there's certain types, you know, that in the areas in which you're in, that there's different types of people. So that brings it up to the concept, too, is that those people who are around you sometimes perpetuate that which you're stuck in. And sometimes you need to let go of those. You know how the cleansing of, oh my gosh, I'm feeling better now, and you, and you just don't fit into my paradigm anymore because you kind of were not good for me. And I'm sure you wrote that in your book, you know, who's not good for you and who you can let go.
That is in the book. And also as a teenager, I certainly used drugs and alcohol. And when I decided to stop doing that, it meant changing friends, changing groups of friends, and
right.
letting people go because they weren't comfortable with me being around if I wasn't going to be getting high. And then eventually I thought they were pretty ridiculous, so I didn't
right.
enjoy being around them either. And then it happened again much later in life where I decided that there were people in my life that appeared to be, as you mentioned earlier, appear to be loving and appear to care about me, but just
mm-hmm.
as often would say critical things to minimize, to hurt, to hold me back. And I decided eventually I was going to let those people go too. That they,
right.
It was like they mirrored an old part of me. A piece of that was still present. And if I released them out of my life, I was releasing the need to judge and to harm myself in any fashion. And so I said, I care about you, but it doesn't work in my
mm-hmm.
life anymore, and I choose not to hang with you. So that worked for me, and I think anytime people feel like that, people are holding them back, hurting them. Those people that say things like, oh, I was just kidding. You're being so sensitive.
Oh, gosh, don't you hate that?
Yes. Well, and so often that's said to people who are really spiritual people who are very sensitive, like spiritual at heart.
Yeah.
And they're
yeah.
very sensitive. Of course they are. And, you know, that's just one more way to put the knife in there. So, yeah, say goodbye.
Yeah. In fact, I had a very, very dear person to me say that to me. They've been saying it for the past 10 years. And they said it to me the other day. They said, what did they say? Oh, gosh, get over it. You know, you know, it's just whatever it is. And I'll say, you know what? Let me tell you, this is who I am. And I'm going to say this is who I am. You've known this is who I am. And stop telling me that I don't have to be who I am. You know, and it was just like, I'm so super done with this crap. And then, you know, and I think we as women need to just say, I'm done with it. You know, a lot of times people have put up with husbands or boyfriends or family members. And so it's like, you know, I'm super sick of listening to that. And finally, it's the camel that breaks the back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, over it. And I think sometimes we don't want to say that, and you be careful and you dance around it and you say, oh, okay, well, I won't say that, or, oh, it wasn't such a big deal, or, oh, okay, maybe it was me. All of that is just hogwash when you stand up and look at it. So in your book, you know, you share a lot of times where you say this, you almost can say this is hogwash. You know, you've said many times, you know, oh, that's not right. That doesn't feel right. It doesn't sense right.
That's so true. I think that it's so possible for us to support each other and help each other be all that we are versus whatever it was in me that attracted that other element, that I don't choose to be that, and any remnant of that I choose to let go of. I think it is significant that my mother, I know that my mother was physically abused as a young woman. I don't know much else about that because it was her brothers that told me about that, not her herself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw her be emotionally and verbally abused by her second husband, and then after he died, she married again. And to see her physically abused by that man, you know, she really didn't have when I questioned her about that, she said no, it was her own fault because of the way she provoked him.
Right.
And I know, you know, I've been married 31 years now. In my relationship, even if I were to provoke my husband he would walk away and say, my God, what's wrong with her? You know, maybe we need marriage counseling. She's not provocable. But my mother had such wounding in herself that she allowed people to hurt her, and she didn't stand up to that. Somehow I think she taught me, don't be like this. And
right.
I've never allowed men to treat me poorly. I think that if the people that you're with don't enhance you in some genuine way, then what is their purpose in you, in your life? Do you really need to hang on to them? Or would it serve you better to let them go? Good questions.
And I also think, too, if we look at our souls and our spirits as never ending, and this lifetime is just a drop into a certain position where we are right now, I really see it as, aren't we as spirits really responsible for changing history as we go forward? So really, we have experienced it in the past, and we're just like evolving. So in other words, we're evolving out of this sense that we aren't less than, this sense that we are separate, or the sense that we are vulnerable in this. Other people can attack us and alter us, or the sense that we're not worthy, or we're not valued, or not loved or cared for. So we're evolving out of that. I think I really see it as the spirit is sort of like just how, you know, a river can change its path, and, you know, the trees grow bigger, and then eventually they fall down, and then you'll have moss and flowers and all that. In other words, it's always an ever-changing landscape. I really see that as humans, we're going forward like that. Because you can almost sense and feel it, that I don't think, I mean, if you look at it, we can't go back to, you know, the early times of cowboys and Indians, you know. We've evolved out of that. We can't go back to, you know, some of the picket fences in the White Houses and all that. We've evolved out of that. So eventually we're coming out of these things, I think.
Things are changing. I look at when Anita Hill stepped up and said, that was sexual harassment at work, and it, you know, and I'm not taking it. When where today the colleges are working to prevent rape on the campuses, something that always occurred but wasn't talked about. When women from Oprah Winfrey to whomever talk about childhood abuse and sexual abuse, and we stand up and we be honest and we be real about that, the world is more and more accepting of that truth and more empowered to not tolerate any of that. At the big, big sporting events now, there is a whole bunch of information that comes out beforehand about sex trafficking, because apparently people bring people into town for those events who can then be used by men. So I love how the world is changing. People have more of a voice than before, and it's not always respected, but the doors are opening so that people can stand up for themselves. And I wanted to mention the power of every decision that we make.
Yeah.
Every decision that we make changes the course of our lives. And that's why when a person goes and gets a reading, if it's from a real viable psychic, you get a reading, and then some of the things play out in the future as suggested and some don't. And that's because every decision that we make changes our future.
Right.
So there's a lot of power in our decisions. And I just wanted to mention that because maybe people aren't aware that if I decide I'm not going to hang out with Mary anymore, you know, she dismisses me just too often, or I'm not going to date that man again because I felt so, you know, my stomach was upset afterwards. The more that we decide to stand up for ourselves and not participate in old stuff means that you open the door to new good stuff.
Absolutely. That is so much the truth. You know, I've been around intuitives and psychics probably for the past 30 years. And I'll tell you, when people would walk out, they would say, ah, they're crazy. That stuff's not me. They didn't even know what they were talking about. You have totally just dissed everything that could have been good that they may have shared with you. You just went, what you've done is you've negated it. You've negated, you know, the good. You've negated the possibility. You've negated the energy that was brought to you, and you've just went, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times when we do that, that's really negating energy. And if we could just put in positive energy and say, oh, my gosh, wouldn't that be fabulous? Wow, how different you would feel, right?
So many possibilities for all of us. We're full of potential. And then every decision that we make, every conclusion that we come to, if we keep that wide open for our own good and ask, ask the universe for what is for our own good, for our highest and best, is usually how that's framed, then who knows where you'll go. You know, I certainly didn't. I remember as a teenager, I wanted to be a psychiatrist. And then it was like, I want to be a psychiatrist or an airline stewardess, one or the other. Anyway, who knew that I would go on to get a doctorate? Who knew?
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to go to college, and I got married really young, at 17. And so my mother used my college fund for something else. And so I went to college anyway, you know. The seed was planted. I went to college anyway, and it certainly made my life easier and allowed me to be of service to humanity, partly through I was a special ed teacher for 30 years. I said yes. I stepped out. I believed in myself. And it's funny because I didn't look like I believed in myself, but just enough to change my future and make it awesome.
You know, that's interesting you said about the stewardess, because I think all of us in the 70s thought we wanted to be a stewardess. Because that was when it was TWA then. I remember that. Uh-huh. And it was glorified, and you always had to wear stockings and a dress and shoes on the plane. I always remember that. You got dressed up to fly then. You know.
Yeah, that was a different time.
Yeah, I can always remember getting dressed up to fly, and I was always the one who flew it. I would fly a lot. You know, in the early 70s, where a lot of people in my city I lived in really didn't. So I thought it was kind of cool. So it's funny you should say that.
Yep. That was one of the things little girls wanted to grow up to.
Absolutely. That's why. You know why? Because we wanted to fly away from where we were. So wasn't that great to see? We knew where we was not where we wanted to be.
Well, that's true.
Absolutely. See, it takes that metaphor. Absolutely. Well, Lynn, it was a real pleasure to have you with us today. We've just spun through this time, and we didn't even stop for a breath. It was really a pleasure to have you.
Oh, thank you so much. It did go really fast. So I just want to mention that my book, Living Hope, is available through Amazon on Kindle and in paperback, and that I have another book coming out in April, May. And it's called The Mystery of My Unfolding Self. And it's a little more about the spiritual than about my early experiences. It's more about the spiritual journey. So I would encourage people to pick it up and read that, or to go to my website, desertjewel.org, because I offer classes and theta healing. And I'm also a licensed substance abuse counselor. So I have those skills and tools to use also. So I invite people to check in.
Well, thank you so much for sharing. I think it's a real pleasure to have you. And I encourage listeners that, as you and I have both said, is ask. I'll tell you, I have always done that in all of my years, is ask for help, ask for people, ask what they're saying. And, you know, even some people have said to me, oh, my gosh, the why queen is back again, you know. Mm. And it's, yeah, because I always ask why, you know. And I think that that's been my greatest asset, is ask why, because then I will actually, what I call play in the sandbox, I want to know everything about it. So take it out and, you know, ask questions, you know. Something doesn't feel right. Go all around it, 360. Say, why is it not right? Is it me? Is it them? Is it the place? Is it the symptoms? Is it something I've been here before? You just never know. So as you shared in your book is, you know, ask, learn, and eventually you'll come to some answers and some peace. So thank you so much for joining us, Lynn. It was a real pleasure.
Thank you. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you so much. If you'd like to find out more information about Lynn Cochran Murphy, her book is Living Hope, Steps to Leaving Suffering Behind. The link is on the bottom of today's show page. And as we've always said on this show is, please ask for help. Check out many of my websites. The links are on the bottom of today's show page. It's about self-respect, getting health, getting help with anything that you just say, something's not right, I just don't get it, or, ooh, it just doesn't feel right to me. Ask for help. Lynn and I are both here to help you. So thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us. And until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit www.drjeanettewellness.com to schedule a phone appointment today with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.